Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a far better place. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you're interested in the program, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339 in the United States and Canada. You can also email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. During the first hour, I interviewed Simon Parks, one of my favorite people, a wonderful gentleman who has so much fascinating information. He'll be coming back on again in just a few minutes. But I wanted to tell everyone that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference, my fifth annual conference, will be held at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States, south of Seattle, from April 12th through the 16th. On April 12th, 13th, and 14th, we'll have our regular conference. And then on the 15th and 16th, my plan is to bring in the wonderful Hado people from Tokyo, Japan, to give treatments and demonstrations of their wonderful Hado machines. There will be a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early. For details, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, this summer, from July 2nd to the 8th, 2018, and September 6th to the 11th, 2018, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. Then on from August 31st to September 2nd, I'll be sponsoring an Ascension Conference at Mount Shasta with Diane Robbins, who's a frequent visitor to Telos and the author of many books on Telos and the Hollow Earth, Susan Isabel, a local Mount Shasta psychic and a channel to the Hollow Earth, Judy Kelly, who's a visitor to Talos and a channel medium to Adam, and many others. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and Talos and the Hollow Earth for several years, and this is a wonderful opportunity to meet the people of the Hollow Earth if you'd like to come. However, before you come, you have to follow certain spiritual protocols to gain entry, and you also have to be cleared by the people of the Hollow Earth. So if you are interested, please call or email me, and I'd be happy to bring you along. In case you missed the first hour, I'll be at the Crystal Void Spiritual Center in Tacoma, Washington, tomorrow on Saturday, April 7th, and on Sunday, April 8th, all day doing readings. I'll have copies of my new book, Messages from the Masters, as well as a special 528 Hertz Love Tuning Forks and Crystals from Lemuria and Mount Shasta. When you hit one of these crystals, you send out love everywhere, and I will hit one of these crystals now to give you an example of what they sound like. This is 528 Hertz, the frequency of love being hit by a Lemurian crystal from Mount Shasta, which is full of love. This love vibration just went out to over 70 countries around the planet. We just blanketed planet Earth with lots of love. And so I hope that that makes everyone feel better. Finally, my good friends Carol and Jerry White will be giving their aura readings tomorrow at a psychic fair at the Quality Inn in Pacific, Washington. If you'd like to go, they'll be there from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And with that, I'd like to go back to my good friend Simon from the United Kingdom. Simon, are you there?
Hello, Ted. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you again. We talked off air a little bit, Simon, about you ended up the last hour talking about the nuclear reactors and how this was used by the U.S. government to create an atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Could you go into that a little bit? I don't think people maybe realize that we had help developing those weapons.
I think what's really quite staggering is that the uranium that was used to make the bombs that was dropped on Japan, that uranium was taken or captured from a German submarine, a German U-boat. Hmm. The Germans had been mining and enriching uranium. One of these U-boats was captured by an American fleet, destroyers. The uranium was shipped back and used in the bombs.
Wow.
So it's ironic that the bomb dropped on Japan, the uranium from that had been enriched in Germany. The Germans were well ahead. They had what was called a heavy water plant, and it was British commandos who I think it was in Norway, who took that out.
Right.
So the Germans were incredibly advanced. Mm. And when the American, predominantly the American troops, won the war in Europe, which they did, they saw more and more evidence of this fascinating technology, and it absolutely scared the pants off the senior leadership in America, and they said, we've just got to put a lid on this, we've got to stop it. Mm. So what they did was they captured as much of this advanced technology and took it to America, took it to the States, and America never looked back. It's always had the edge over every other country. But now I would say that Russia is probably about only 5 years behind America, China maybe 7 years, and so on and so forth. So the gap now is so short that America no longer has a technological advantage. It's the first time ever that America no longer has a technological advantage over the major other countries.
One curious thing, that one good thing that Professor Albert Einstein said many years ago was that, I think it was him, Simon, I wanted to run this by you. He said something like, technological advancement without accompanying spiritual advancement can lead to, we can end up destroying ourselves. I mean, we got this tremendous technology now to, in the words of J. Robert Oppenheimer, to destroy the planet. He quoted after he witnessed the July 1945 explosion at Trinity in New Mexico. He said, quoting the Bhagavad Gita, that I have now become death, the giver of life. So that even though we have this technology, we still needed spiritual. We have to evolve spiritually in order to quarantine these technologies and not use them to blow ourselves up.
Well, Einstein, of course, would be more poignant because he got away from Nazi Germany, was pushed out before he was killed.
Right.
So anybody who has seen a rogue government understands that without the knowledge and life experience to manage and control what you have, you just become like a crazed person. Right. With a new toy.
Right.
And the difficulty is that the ordinary citizens of a country are by and large quite spiritual, but those who have clawed and fought and climbed their way to the top tend to be less so, and they look on these pieces of technology as gambling or bargaining chips that allow them to stay in power position. Now, when you have that, then you don't have the means to make decisions on a spiritual basis. You only make decisions on a service to self basis.
Right.
The difficulty with humanity is that it has not until recently expressed itself as a whole. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing governments having to make a choice as to whether they are seen as separate from the people, in which case they are finished, or whether they wish to be seen with the people. And that means that a spiritual understanding or spiritual regrowth is already underway.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well said. One thing that I've spoken to Nostradamus in recent years, and he's told me that our leaders in the future, several things are going to happen. Government's going to become a lot smaller because government will not need to regulate people's behavior because people will know intrinsically, they will know how to treat each other with love and respect, and people won't do the nasty, horrible things that they do to each other now, or at least not as much. And as a result of that, government's going to become a lot smaller. But what government there will be, he said, Simon, will be to regulate and interface humanity with other extraterrestrial races beyond this planet. And the second thing he's also told me is that our leaders in the future will become a lot more spiritual, that they'll be chosen for spiritual qualities and not so much how much money you have or how many things you can do for service to self. It'll be based upon service to others instead.
What's got to happen is a code of conduct mm-hmm. has to be enshrined in galactic law, which protects the human population and governs the interaction between the human race and all those other signatories. There need to be individuals in place to ensure that whatever takes place stays within that enshrined law. So that's the first part. Mm-hmm. The second part, as human consciousness evolves and changes, the multinationals, the big corporations, and the governments will have to follow, or they'll be out of step. Okay. So government will, it's very interesting what you said, Ted. Mm-hmm. Government will, on one hand, wish to deregulate, let go of its controls, partly because humanity won't need it, but also government's reason for being has to change. At the moment, I believe that government sees itself as the civilizer. Government sees right. itself as, if it wasn't for us, they'd all tear each other apart.
Right.
And they see it as their right to control and order, even if that is against the citizenry. Now, not only will that not be required, but I think people in government will no longer wish to control people.
Mm.
I think that people in government will wish to coordinate people. And that's the difference between controlling and coordinating. And that's what I think we'll see. There'll still be a government, but its emphasis will shift from holding people down, controlling them, keeping them in one place, to letting them be more free and trying to get them to be more proactive in the way that they work with their fellow brothers and sisters.
What a beautiful day that will be. And I know it's coming. Absolutely, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. That's the basis of my book, Messages from the Masters, in which I've received all these messages from Albert Einstein, from President Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, on our beautiful, bright future. And that's one of the things that they actually talk about is the control issue. And I think that humans, the basic nature of humanity on this planet is to be benevolent, kind, sweet, and loving in service to others. It's not to be fighting all the time or service to self. It's quite the opposite. And this is a artificial, the service to self and the fighting and the conflict, that's an artificial, temporary artificial state that some people are in on this planet. But I think that'll change too in the future.
I think it's got to change, because if it doesn't, what's happening is humanity is changing for the better,
right.
but the rules and regulations are not changing at the right speed. So in other words, humans are outgrowing the rules and regulations, the control system around them. And this is what causes riots.
Right.
This is what causes problems. When humans' natural outpouring is for truth and justice,
mm-hmm.
But the system is not wishing to let go. And this is where we see the flashpoints. It's not to condone violence, but it's to say to governments, your role is changing. You are really less of a controller and more of an enabler. Mm-hmm. So governments should see themselves as enabling the citizens, not controlling them. And until they get that balance right, there will continue to be flashpoints.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree several things. First off, that we're all one. Secondly, if we do hurt someone else, we're basically hurting ourselves, because we are all one. Thirdly, the universe and this planet is changing from service to self to service to others. And it's a slow process, but I do know that one thing that's very interesting that Nostradamus has told me is that back about 10, 15 years ago, I learned about this ascension process, Simon, and Nostradamus had said that the process would be complete by the year 2038. And he also said in the same breath that we would have a possible third world war starting in the United States and the Middle East in the 90s. And by the year 2005, many American cities would be destroyed by a nuclear war. Well, that hasn't happened. And it hasn't happened because you and me and everyone listening on this show today who want a better world and are making the right choices for a better world have taken the right path. And so we won't have a nuclear war. I don't see us having any kind of Armageddon. And the bottom line for Nostradamus, I've talked to him recently, everything has speeded up. And the ascension process now, he tells me, will be completed within about 7 years by the year 2025. And that's like a 13-year jump ahead of schedule. And it's because of us, because we, you, me, and everyone listening today on this show have made the right choices in creating a better planet. So please don't get discouraged. Good times are ahead of us, and things are happening at a far faster rate than even was predicted by Nostradamus some years ago.
I totally agree. I think what's happened is that the human consciousness has decided that it has stayed in this position for far too long, mm-hmm. and something magical occurred, mm-hmm. and at the snap of the fingers, the human race decided it was going to get up and start walking, having been crawling for goodness knows how long. Right. And that was a fundamental shift. That was a fundamental change. If you are in a dark room and you live in a dark room for 5 years, mm-hmm. and then you suddenly draw the curtains and you see out the window and you see the sunlight and the trees and the grass, mm-hmm. next thing you want is to open the window and go out. Now, those curtains were pulled back in 2012, mm-hmm. when we had the very important shift.
Right.
Now, the human race, having looked out the window and seen the possibilities, there's no way we're going to pull the curtains and go back and sit in the dark. So we are on an inevitable advancement. And the question is, who is coming with us and who is going to stay behind?
Mm-hmm. One very interesting thing, two things, one from President Kennedy and the second from the comic from the Galactic Alliance. President Kennedy has said that if he had been allowed to make the changes he wanted to make back in the early 60s and allowed to live, this planet would be a very different place and we would be now in the fifth dimension. But he also said in the same breath to me that that it is our destiny on this planet to become a loving, kind, benevolent civilization where people truly live in peace and harmony, because it is our destiny. That's where we're headed now. The second thing I've been told by the Galactic Alliance is that there are actually 40, if you consider all the different dimensions, the 10, 11, 12 dimensions here in this solar system, there's not 9 or 10 planets. There's actually 40 different planets if you consider all the other dimensions. And all the other planets have been ascending as well. The Earth is not an isolated case. We're connected to the universe and connected to the solar system. And the one planet that's been behind in this solar system has been the laggard, has been planet Earth. And finally, in September 2016, the vibrations of this planet called the Schumann resonance started doubling and tripling, and now they've gone up almost 30 times since 2016. And the bottom line is that Mother Earth Gaia is now moving ahead, shifting into the future, and she got tired of waiting, and she's shifting into the into the higher dimensions. And as John Lennon said, I hope that everyone will join us here on the program to help us with that kind of shift, because this is what the purpose of my radio and television shows are, and your work too, I know, Simon, to create a better and happier planet.
I'm in two minds about President Kennedy, because in one way I say he was the right man, the right place, the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I say, if he hadn't have been here and hadn't have, it's almost a sacrifice, if he hadn't have done that, would it have meant that we were all a good 20, 30 years behind? Mm. Was the fact that Kennedy was the people's president and afterwards was replaced by presidents who were not the people's president, did Kennedy give a spark to humanity by saying that you can be a president for the people?
Right.
So had he not been around, had he not done what he did, had he not come forward, would we be 30, 40 years behind? And I actually don't look on Kennedy as a failure. I look on him as somebody who had to do what he had to do because it was an absolute vital part of the pieces of the jigsaw which allows us to be where we are today. So on the face of it, you'd look at it and you say, well, oh, you know, poor man was murdered. That was pointless, wasn't it? But actually it wasn't, because the outrage and the feeling of loss and shock by right. the American citizens right. who then began to question their government. They then began to question their secret intelligence services. And I think that that was one of the key turning points that made people more independent.
I couldn't agree with you more, Simon. Absolutely. That's a really good point. You know, I have a little Kennedy button that I wear in my sport jacket when I wear it. And people stop me on the street and they ask me about it. And they say they love President Kennedy, even today. You know, so many 50-odd years after his assassination, that energy is still there. They all recognize it immediately, and they want to talk about him. And I've often had many wonderful conversations just with people on the street here in Seattle and Vancouver, Canada, and Portland, Oregon. Different places I go, people recognize his picture, and they want to. So that energy is still there.
Listen, Ted, it's really incredible. There are certain, you know, it's very common, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Obviously, as our generations get older. But there was the big thing about where were you right. when President Kennedy died?
Right.
And they also said it about John Lennon. Mm. Where were you when John Lennon was shot? And I think what they're looking at is a similar energy, right. an energy on the planet that was here for change. Mm-hmm. And both Kennedy and Lennon were focal points for change, one through politics and one through music.
Sure.
And the evil, dark energy couldn't, from its perspective, allow that to happen because it was bringing change on the earth. But and when I use the word game, I don't mean it in a belittling way. I mean mm-hmm. it more of a balance. The negative forces are always destined to lose. They're destined right. to lose because they use trickery and pain and suffering to gain what they want. Right. The good forces use free will, and the honest and truth of free will always win out. So, I've shared exactly the same judgment as you, Ted, that we are going to make it, but we're going to have a bit of a rough ride before we get there. I've no doubt, absolutely, there will be no Third World War. There will be no mass destruction on this planet. There will be problems. There will be issues. But the opportunity is there. And every man, woman, and child has to decide within themselves whether they want that opportunity or not.
Sure.
That's free will.
Absolutely. And this planet is one of free will. One thing I want to bring back to the extraterrestrials. Do you think that we will negotiate a new agreement with the reptilians after all this transformation is done, or will they change themselves so that?
That's probably the hardest topic you've brought up tonight, mm-hmm, Ted. Mm-hmm. I'd very much like them to change. Mm-hmm. That would be really good. Mm-hmm. I think what will happen is that there will be a number of groups that are excluded from the arrangement, but invited to the table as and when they can ratify the terms of the agreement. So I think there will be a number of races that do not take part in the new division of the earth. The earth has got to be divided, actually, in terms of understanding energies, sharing resources, understanding the role of humanity. And I think that there are certain groups at the moment who wouldn't be able to understand that. They wouldn't be able to comprehend equality. You know, you're asking something that has considered itself to be Lord and Master for goodness knows how many thousands of years mm-hmm. to sit on a table next to somebody and be equal. Now, sure. only a truly evolved being can do that. So I've yet to have evidence that some of these reptilians are at that point.
Hmm. Fascinating. Well, it's going to lead to, I think of all the planets in this universe, in which there must be trillions of planets, Simon, we are the focal point, isn't it? This is where the action is in this universe, as far as I know.
That's what's so exciting. Mm-hmm. you know, we're obviously all a little bit biased, but I think this is the place to be. This is the bit of real estate that everybody's bidding for. And I don't mean bidding for in terms of buying the planet. I mean to come here. How exciting to be here at this time. I mean, maybe people don't feel it because of the daily grind. You know, you've got to go to work and you've got to pay the bills. But there isn't another place, to my knowledge, where we are faced with so many choices and so many challenges. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's a bit of a stock saying that I have on my radio show, but 100 years of human life here is equal to 100,000 years anywhere else. In other words,
really?
our opportunity to learn, to face problems and either run away, bury our head in the sand, or actually do something about it and learn, mm-hmm. that's tremendous here. We can't get away from it. So, of course, you'd want to come here. You'd want to come here because this is where you learn.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I want to give, in fairness to my audience, we have some extra time today. I'd like to open up the phone lines. If anyone has a question of Simon, please feel free to call in. We'll continue to talk. The area code here is area code 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or for those who are abroad, out of the area, feel free to email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. On that note, Simon, I wanted to ask you, what do you see happening this year? I know predictions are hard to make sometimes because of people's free will, and people do change their mind from time to time. But what do you see from your perspective?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy for audience to email in or whatever, call in with questions, and it'd be very exciting to mm-hmm. see if we can answer any of them.
Sure.
For the future, I see a very big change in the way that certain countries relate to each other. I'm still hopeful that America will move to a gold or silver-backed currency, certainly in the next 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I see a continuing battle, I'm using the word deliberately, between the forces of negativity and the positive. In other words, I'm afraid some of these dreadful, stupid atrocities that we're seeing playing out mainly in the United States, they will continue for a while.
Oh, too bad.
But they'll get less.
Mm-hmm.
And I also see a very, very positive change in under a year. So I would predict in the next 9 months, you and I will be on your radio show talking about the discernible change for the better, which even the most established conservatives would have to admit were taking place. So I don't think we're going to have to wait 3, 4, 5 years for some real positive changes. I think we'll see them in the next 9 months. I'm very, very excited about it.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, they always like to portray these horrible shooting incidents as a lone gunman without any outside influence. But from your information, I don't think there are loners, are they? Are many of these shooting incidents, are those planned? What? I'd love your opinion on that.
I think that the establishment have cracked themselves wide open. There have been a number of interviews with very credible eyewitnesses on mainstream American television, mm-hmm. Which have actually, that's because President Trump has insisted that these people actually are interviewed and these interviews do get out. There was a time when right. these people were interviewed, but their story was never released. But now under Trump, love him or hate him, mm-hmm. more truth is coming out. And many of these witnesses talk about hearing gunshots in more than one place.
Right.
The establishment is saying there was one gunman. But witnesses who were there, not someone writing a story 1,000 miles away, witnesses who were actually in those buildings saying that they went down one corridor and they were shooting here, and then they went down another corridor and they were shooting on the other side.
Right.
And credible witnesses saying they saw people dressed as police officers, but they weren't police officers. They right. were somebody else. So when we begin to put all of this information together, what we find is a secret government, nothing to do with President Trump, nothing to do with the lawmakers, a secret small government operating separately out of the control of democracy, with an agenda that no sane person could possibly comprehend. And, you know, this can't go on because the American people, and you said it, Ted, the American people are not stupid. Mm-hmm. And there's going to come a point where they're just going to say enough is enough. I notice mm-hmm. that the attack on Google, YouTube.
Oh yes,
that is very, very, very important. I don't know if your listeners were aware, but the CEOs of Apple and YouTube were publicly arguing 3 days on Twitter and other social media and on the news. They were arguing with each other. They were at each other's throats professionally, and. And I did put on my website that the attack should be seen as something linked with this.
Interesting. I remember seeing your reference. Could you explain, please, a little bit? What just to back up a little bit, Simon. Sure. Apple and YouTube. What were they arguing? What was each side arguing about?
The CEO of YouTube said that Apple made iPhones, made modern phones only for the rich and not for the poor.
Uh-huh.
And Apple CEO responded that at least he was making money out of a solid object, whereas YouTube were just making money out of ordinary people. So they were really at each other. They were really, really going on. It's unprecedented to see senior executives publicly arguing in the US. It's not a common occurrence because they all right. generally sign up to what we call the old boys network.
Right.
Now, the shooter, I've had a look at her photograph, mm-hmm. and I'm absolutely convinced from what I've seen, there is mind control issues there.
Sure.
There is mind control issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one arm of the secret government often sends a message to another arm of government.
Hmm.
And what we often see is ordinary civilians caught in the crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw occurring here, was there was a much bigger game at a very high level being played. But when you look at it, these are just child's play. It's pointless. Pointless doing this. Mm-hmm. What is the point in killing people or injuring innocent yeah. people because somebody has a standpoint and they are too immature to come to a table and debate it?
Right, right. Well, one of the things I want people to look at, there are pictures of the young woman who did do the shootings on YouTube here recently. Look at her eyes. Anybody who's implanted with negative implants and often under mind control have very large eyes. They look like silver dollar eyes. And you'll see her eyes are extremely large. A lot of politicians in the United States have similar eyes. They're not shooters, of course, but many of them do have very wide eyes, and wide eyes are indicative of being implanted or mind control.
Yes, I agree with you. And also remember, many of these people are blackmailed, and mm-hmm. remember, many of them are victims themselves.
True.
You know, they are being manipulated just as anyone else is.
Sure.
So we have to be very careful before we cast the first stone. We have mm-hmm. to make sure that somebody was really in charge of their own actions. And in most cases, we find that people wake up the next morning and don't have a clue what they did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People say that Sirhan Sirhan, the alleged killer of Senator Robert F. Kennedy, was mind controlled as well. And that a lot of times these lone shooters are not lone, but they're actually manipulated into doing what they're doing.
Well, the alleged murderer of President Kennedy was shot
right
by somebody who was mind controlled.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So it's something that the U.S. is very good at.
Well, unfortunately, that's nothing. I don't think that's anything to be proud of, frankly. But I'm looking forward to the day when all of this is being disclosed. One thing that a wonderful astrologist told me back in 2014, 4 years ago, Simon, Susan Miller from New York City, she said that this was a time of truth and that things that are true will become true and those that are false will be revealed as false and then fall by the wayside. And as this year progresses, Simon, I'm noticing that more and more truth is coming out about all kinds of things, including government, corporations, even people's relationships. I'm looking forward to the time when we finally enter into the higher dimensions and everything will be truth. I'm told by my by Nostradamus that by the year 2025, and I'd like to make this his prediction, is that people will communicate mostly by telepathically and language secondary, so that if people are lying or try to hide something, the person will just read your mind and they'll know instantaneously whether you're telling the truth or not.
What's fascinating and very hard for us in this dimension to comprehend mm-hmm. is that the need for a police force or law and order in the fifth dimensions and higher is far less.
That's right.
Because the levels of crime are unheard of.
Correct.
This is just a third and fourth dimensional issue. So we're going to have a very different society once we do make it into the fifth. Mm-hmm. There will be an army. There will be a military. We'll have to have that.
Right.
There will be a police force, but it won't be anything as large, and it won't operate in the same way. And
right.
you know, the whole people who are spiritual and talk about the subject, some of them don't even grasp the magnitude of the change that's coming.
Right.
And it's going to be in our lifetimes, and that's what is so wonderful. You know, we could have been here in the Stone Age, we could have been here, you know, 100 years ago, but all of those audience listening to tonight's show mm-hmm. chose to be here now. And they mm-hmm. chose to be here now, not out of chance, but because they wanted to be on one of the most exciting fairground rides that the multiverse has ever seen. And, you know, you're going to look back on this time right. in 10, 20, 30 years' time, and you're going to recognize that this was a truly special and wonderful time.
Oh.
And it may not feel it now, but believe me, it is.
Thank you so much for saying that, Simon. We have a question, an email. She writes, Simon's words, this is Jennifer, Simon's words for us Americans are very reassuring that other countries can see we, the people, are trying to improve and we are not our government. And she asked us, Simon, do you have any further thoughts or words specifically for Native Americans?
Throughout history, the fearful, mechanized, advanced, technologically advanced, fearful people have tried to exterminate or control anybody who has a connection to the earth. Anyone, simply because they are fearful of an individual who does not put his or her trust in machinery, but puts their trust in the earth. So let me make a division now between Native American Indians and people who are American. Mm-hmm. First of all, we can learn from our lessons. And actually, it shouldn't be a division between the Native American Indians and the American people. For God's sake, you're all one person. You're all one people.
Right.
We need to learn and understand and forgive and share. and recognize that everyone's on the continent of this country or that country, and we all walk the same sidewalks, don't we? We all drink the same water, don't we? We all enjoy the same sun, don't we? Therefore, we are the people, we are the citizens, and we have to be tolerant of people's differences. Doesn't mean that we allow them to kick our walls down or our garden sheds down, but it means that we have to have that tolerance, and we have to understand that as a people, we will not be pushed around. So no more divide and rule, no more saying, well, you know, the Hispanics are different from the Jews, and
right,
you know, the Native American. We've got to get beyond that.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the messages that I've tried to push, and I will continue to push. And if people from individual countries can work together, not just in a superficial sign up to a piece of paper, but actually mean it and believe it, they won't be pushed around. They won't be cheated. You know, how many times do we go to the store and we get inferior food or an inferior product?
Right.
Why do these people, these companies, think they can palm us off
right
on secondary things? And that's because they are trying to divide us. So what I would say is, when I talk about Native Americans, I'm talking about all of you guys working together as one.
I couldn't agree with you more. President Kennedy has asked me actually to play this quote from him regarding his program to go to the moon in the early 1960s. We go there not because it's hard, because it's the right thing to do. And I want to play that quickly now. Just 2 minutes, Simon, then we'll come right back to you.
William Bradford, speaking in 1630 of the founding of the Plymouth Bay Colony, said that all great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulty, and both must be enterprised and overcome with answerable courage. If this capsule history of our progress teaches us anything, it is that man in his quest for knowledge and progress is determined and cannot be deterred. The exploration of space will go ahead. Whether we join in it or not, we mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it. For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon, and to the planets beyond. Our leadership in science and industry, our hopes for peace and security, our obligations to ourselves as well as others, all require us to make this effort, to solve these mysteries, to solve them for the good of all men. There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Perfect. He asked me to play that now, and I'm glad I did. Anyway, Simon, I wanted to share that with you. So,
thank you. I think what I was very, very say is anybody listening to that would realize they were not listening to a politician. They were listening to somebody who was beyond a politician. They were listening to somebody whose reason for living was not about politics, but was about advancing the cause of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why, tragically, he was murdered, because he offered a very early exit into the fifth dimension, mm-hmm, and one that the system at that time wasn't willing to countenance.
Right.
And that's not the case now.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. We've got about 10 minutes left. And
more questions, Ted. Come on.
Okay. All right. I wanted to ask you, anyone has a question, please email them to me to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call the studio directly at 425 325 1-800-373-5527. That's out of this world 1150@gmail.com. Here in the U.S. on major media here, we're bombarded daily, nightly, morning, noon, and night with the so-called Russia investigation. From your sources, what do you think of this Russian investigation here?
There are still elements of the Clinton camp who are smarting from the loss of the election, mm-hmm. and the fact that they tried to implicate President Trump in some dirty dealings with the Russians, and that fell flat on its face and has gone nowhere. Mm-hmm. So this to them seems their last chance, their last gasp to try to pull President Trump down by saying, you know, that the dirty Russians, we warned you all along. That is an ongoing battle, but in actual fact, it's not where the real battle is being fought. The real battle is being fought in the positions of power within government, in terms of office holders, those individuals who hold office, who either are in one camp or another camp. And what's been happening, particularly over the last 6 to 8 months, is that a much more liberal, in terms of freedom, not in terms of liberal as in let's raise taxes, but in terms of freedom-loving individuals, and also very strong advocates and patriarchs of America have come into positions of responsibility. So people who have thought about one world government are losing out for people who are thinking of individuals. And that's the change we're coming. So this Russian nonsense will just die a death.
Yeah, that's my opinion too. They're grasping at straws. And anyway, thank you so much for asking that. Had another question here, another email on the timeline for all these changes. How soon or how long do you think this will take?
Well, you've given one time from your contacts. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at 9 months for some very interesting domestic changes. I'm talking very much for the United States now, because that's primarily where your radio show is.
Right.
I think the next 9 months we'll see some quite big changes and shocking revelations which will reach the ears of the public. Mm. I would then predict another 2 years for some structural changes. Now, I do think that Trump is likely to win another term of office. Mm-hmm. But I certainly think I'm going to be a little bit more excitable than Nostradamus, and I think we'll get these changes within 5 years.
Oh, so you're looking at, this is the 18th, so you're looking at these changes coming through by 2023?
Yeah.
Nostradamus said that there is the possibility exists for a faster change than 2025. He said that, but it depends upon our choices.
And okay. Well, I'm only sorry. I didn't mean to be rude and interrupt you, Ted.
That's okay.
Therefore, I'm only cutting off two. I'm only shaving off 2 years from his target.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other question too that just came in is the other email just came in is when will the cabal, their power, be gone?
In 9 months' time, there will have been some shocking revelations, which will shame not just individuals but their organizations, and lead to a systemic change in governance of a number of organizations, and it will be that more than anything else that begins to cleanse the society of some of the most evil things that we've seen. So within 9 months, we will begin to see an unstoppable momentum towards change.
Well, I have to tell you, Simon, there's been a lot of beautiful angelic light coming into my studio while you've been talking, but we just got hit with a blast when you said that. So I think you're right on spot on target. So that leads us to January of the year 2019.
The reason I go for this and the way it comes to me is that because a woman carries a baby for 9 months.
Oh, interesting.
And then the baby is born.
Right.
So we have 9 months of carrying, and then we are going to have a new birth. That's basically what's happening here.
Oh, fascinating. That is really interesting. Thank you. This is, of course, a planet of free will. I'm reluctant sometimes to give specific dates, but it's so nice to hear that kind of prediction, Simon, from your perspective. We've got about four or five minutes left. And
okay.
I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and I want to give you the rest of the time to please say anything you like, and to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, thank you. I just always, whenever I'm very, very pleased to come onto your show, I'm very grateful for you to invite me.
Oh, of course.
And I think that those who've listened to me know that I have a soft spot for the American people, and there's no secret that I've always said that the two most important countries in the world are Great Britain and the United States of America. Not because I'm trying to suck up to anybody, but simply because America is the place where decisions are made, and the old country, that's Great Britain, is the magic country. It's the country of energies and ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
And those who have listened to me know that I don't believe in a world of doom and gloom.
Right.
I do talk about difficulties, and I do talk about hard roads ahead. But I've always said, for the last 7 years, I haven't changed my message, that we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of us make it, that I don't know. But right. The option is there for every man, woman, and child to make it if they so choose, and if they're brave enough to make those decisions. So all I would say to your audience is that to keep listening to your show, Ted, because it is one of the most enlightened and spiritual shows anywhere on the planet.
Well, thank you.
It is uncorruptible. This radio show of yours cannot be corrupted.
Therefore,
the information you're giving is of the highest truth and of the strongest light. The time is coming when people will begin to question some of their established radio stations, and I hope that means that those subscribers move across to yours simply because they'll hear the truth from your mouth and not lies.
Well, thank you so much, Simon, for saying that. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place, and I'm really touched that you said that. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'll go now, Ted. So God bless to you, and God bless to Eric.
All right.
And God bless to all of your listeners all over the globe.
All right. Thank you so much for being on today, Simon. I've really enjoyed interviewing you, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy evening.
Thank you.
With that, I'd like to play this last quote from Ask Not, from President Kennedy, who's asked me to play this today.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
And finally, before we end this show, we've got about a minute left. I'd like to play this beautiful song by John Lennon called Imagine. And I hope all of you listening around the world have a beautiful and happy weekend. We have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, everyone, and I want everyone to know that. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a beautiful weekend.
Above us. sky.